Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Paddock and the Pavilion with me, your host, Stephen Wallace. I do hope you enjoyed our series of Cheltenham podcasts. Wasn't Stan Hayhurst, the winning Cheltenham Gold Cup jockey in 1958 and now 90 years old, incredible? Today we are back to cricket with a previous guest, Jenny Thompson, who is currently on her world cricket tour. I last spoke to Jenny in episodes 226 and 227 in September 2023. As before, we have two more shows with the most passionate of all cricket players. In part three, Jenny talks about her trips to Argentina, Brazil, Costa Rica, Fiji, and New Zealand, to name just a few, as she zips around the world via embassies, breakfast television, and glaciers, promoting the game we all love. Let's capture all Jenny's enthusiasm in All Over the World, Part 3. Hello, Jenny. Welcome back to the Paddock and the Pavilion.
Hi, Stephen. It's so lovely to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it was back in September, and you were heading off to Mexico, I think, the last time I spoke to you.
That's right. A long time ago. 20 countries ago or something.
Well, I'm looking forward to today. We're going to start with a catch-up, really, before we get on to 12 stories and also women's cricket, the future of the tour, and of course the book. But to start with, have you scored any 50s?
No, I haven't scored any 50s yet. I scored the world's most boring 47 in Adelaide the other day, 47 not out. I carried my bat for a very long, about 36 or 7 overs, but we only made about 100, so I sort of had to do that.
Well, that's a bit more like my batting, that is. What about bowling? How's the bowling coming along?
I haven't really bowled. I bowled some in a Paraka men's match the other day, and they called me Jen Howard after when John Howard, one of our prime ministers here in Australia, shouldn't have bowled a ball in front of the press, and he sort of just smashed it into the ground. And yeah, I was like, I know, I'm Jen Howard, I know. But, oh, guess what? I found a person in the northwest of England called Mike who's done a PhD in the Yips. So I'm going to find him when I'm back in England, and I'm going to go and see Dr. Yips, see if he can give me a prescription on how to bowl properly.
Oh, that'd be interesting. He ought to be covering other sports like darts and golf as well.
Well, I think he might, but I think his specialism is cricket. But of course, it can affect all kinds of sports, can't it? I can tell you it's horrific. It's no fun.
Any more scoring? You are an international scorer.
I'm going to be scoring in Montenegro at the Mediterranean Cricket League, featuring Brad Hogg, Pavel Horan. Who's that? The cousin of Pavel Florin from Transylvania. So we'll be doing a bit of scoring there. I do love scoring. And again, for my men's team at Paraka, I've been doing a lot of scoring, and that's often my best contribution to the match sometimes.
I love it. Any wicket keeping?
No wicket keeping. Only in training, only helping out, but I still love it. And, you know, I think that ship's sailed, but Like, it's so fun. It's all fun, isn't it? Everything's fun.
Is it fun writing the book then?
Oh my goodness me, it's so fun. It's so fun because I still haven't processed half of what I've done because everything's so whirlwind and then I'm in the next place. And then as I'm looking back at my diary and sort of finessing it all into editing and editorial, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that really happened. And also I've just finished, because, you know, it's not like I haven't got anything else to do, but I've just finished, like just this week, it's so exciting, a feature film. And it's been co-written with my friend, the screenwriter, Dave Haddon, who, I love this, right? Dave Haddon is the second cousin of Brad Haddon. But Dave knows, or should I say knew, nothing about cricket whatsoever. We've written a cricket feature film and now he's an expert. So we're so excited about it. We're going to start pitching it very, very soon.
Oh, good luck with that. Well, Brad Haddon, as well as obviously being the Australian former wicketkeeper, now is in the media as well.
Yeah, I know. And then he'll be joined by Dave soon. So, you know, it'll be Haddon-vest.
Well, since we last spoke, before we go on to these 12 stories where I'm going to ask you to pick a number, I've extended it because you said 10 wasn't enough. So we've got 12 this time. Just wanted to catch up on a couple of things, is that you went to a British embassy.
Yes, I went to the British Embassy in Costa Rica, and I had quite a funny time because we couldn't get out of the lift, myself and Alex from Costa Rica cricket. And, you know, we had to go to a secret floor and all this, and they dialed in a code. And then I know this is going to surprise you, Stephen, but we were too busy talking because I was showing him a bat, which is the kookaburra, and he didn't know what a kookaburra was. And we got engaged in that, and the lift doors opened and shut. But anyway, eventually, on our second attempt, I've got so many travel stories and crazy stories like that. We got in and, yeah, we got to discuss with the embassy how they're helping cricket in Costa Rica. And they already are really involved with women's cricket. They're really supportive, which is great. But what we were talking about was perhaps running what they do with women's football is they do a lot of social impact work through the football. So we were discussing that when Costa Rican women's cricket really burgeons, then that might be a really good opportunity to also introduce some social impact programs there, because, you know, I love that cricket does really good things for you just by playing, but it can also help in so many different ways as well.
I think we're going to find that out in some of the stories I've got lined up. Yeah, you also, since we last spoke, you're now a former player member at Lancashire.
Well, that's right. Yes. Back in the day, Stephen, I played for Lancashire and Cheshire, and we would play against ridiculous counties, in inverted commas, such as the West of England. Then we'd play East Anglia, which, of course, is Charlotte Edwards. And, you know, it was quite ridiculous. But, yeah, so it's so nice to be in these times where former players are very much recognised, because, you know, again, to say back in the day, we didn't even know, you sort of stumbled on the fact that there was a county team that you might be able to play in. Never mind, you know, then be able to play. But seriously, you'd have to pay for your own kit and your own transport and all that kind of thing. And the kit, when I say your own kit, it means just bring the whites that you bought for yourself, because there was no standard issue kit. And then they would give you this circle saying Lancashire and Cheshire. And then it had the Red Rose of Lancashire and the Wheat Sheaf of Cheshire. And my mum used to call it a fried egg because of the big yellow wheat sheaf in the middle of this white circle. And then they would give you two badges, one to stitch onto your cap, one to stitch onto your jumper. And, you know, there was no, because you'd need a jumper in the north, of course, but there was no there was no badge for your normal shirt. That was just plain. And my poor mum, or my dear mum, she took her needle and an absolute lot of thread and sewed the kit for all my teammates and myself. So I was very lucky. So those are the kind of days that we're talking. You know, the whole championship season for England selection and everything was played Monday to Friday in beautiful Cambridge, 50 overs, 5 days. You'd camp or you'd sleep in a church hall. No manager, no coach, completely crazy. And then I look at, say, these days, Lancashire pre-season in Mumbai or Dubai, and Alex Hartley's got a name on a light pole, and you can stay in the Kate Cross suite at a hotel. And I just say, you know, it's just, it's worlds removed from how it was for me not that long ago. So then to have the recognition, it's just so cool. And I've lined up with some of my old teammates. We're going to get a hotel room overlooking Old Trafford, and then we're going to watch a Thunder match. We've never been to that cricket before, so it will all be revolutionary and really, really fun.
I'll look forward to that. Let's start with your stories, and you've got 12 here to pick from. You reckon off-air that I'm going to know more about the stories than you will, but I'm hoping you won't, because I've only got little notes on them. So pick a number between 1 and 12.
Got to be 6.
6. I don't even know what the numbers go to. Ah, the first one, actually, that you played in a country which you said on Facebook had never lost a minute's rain. Ooh. Had never lost a minute cricket due to rain.
That's right, Peru.
So what was it like in Peru?
Dry. It's kind of coastal desert. So I asked Harry, who runs Cricket Peru, how it all worked. And he said, sort of as the clouds are rolling in towards the coast, I'm no geography expert, something about the Andes nearby, the clouds would get sucked that way, so that cricket in Lima, which is where all the cricket is played, is it just never rains there. So if you're an umbrella salesperson, you're in the wrong job. But yeah, they've never lost a minute in their entire history. I was absolutely staggered and, of course, fascinated, because I love quirky stuff, and who doesn't?
And coming from someone who comes from the northwest of England, where it does rain.
Exactly. England's rainiest city, I think, Manchester. And if not, I'm going to claim it, because you can believe it.
Right, so next number.
7.
7. Number 7. Ah, you actually nearly mentioned this in your already mention it, but I wanted you to talk about your Christmas present that you received.
To do with kit. Oh, yes. Definitely. I thought that's what you meant, but I was just checking. So lovely, lovely, lovely Lacuna and Lee at Lacuna, who I call cricket's Sarah Blakely, who invented Spanx, because she's American and a really dynamic business person. Lee has come up with Lacuna sports brand, which is the world's first cricket female clothing company exclusively for girls and women, and the stuff that Lee produces is just so comfortable, and it's really tailored, unsurprisingly, to women's figures. And when it arrived at my parents' house, and my mum, you know, commented on how well packaged it was and how well made it was, and my mum knows, so yeah, if it's a recommendation from my mum, then, you know, that's high praise indeed. But yeah, it's really fabulous, and it's lovely to see these brands like Nex and, you know, that sort of thing really taking on board that women have different needs, because we've got different body shapes and all sorts. So yeah, that was a lovely Christmas present, and I love wearing my Lacuna gear.
But that's so important. And on a serious note, I think the majority of men who've played cricket, myself included, never realised that there was no female kit.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's what you become accustomed to. So I never even thought that, oh, we're just wearing small men's gear. I just accepted it. But even here in South Australia, it wasn't that long ago that the Scorpions, the state team, were wearing trousers with flies in them. You know, it's just ridiculous when you think about it. But then again, it's not even that long ago that the Australian women were wearing not just the men's kit, but the men's hand-me-down kit.
It is, it's hard to believe, really, but it must make playing international sport much easier, much better for a female.
Yeah, because I don't think it's just about how, you know, is it helping you to play? It's also, there's so much around body confidence and you have to feel comfortable. And, you know, I'm so glad that they're mainly phasing out wearing whites in cricket, because we've all had, as women, girls, we've pretty much all had accidents. And I'm pretty sure, to be honest, I'm pretty sure some of my old teammates from the boys' team at school are really traumatised still from witnessing me having a bit of an episode back in the day. We were all really young and it was just, you know, those sort of things. It really impacts on you, even your psychological preparation for the day. You know, it's not fun. It's not fun enough being a woman at sometimes, never mind worrying about it on top. So, yeah, all these things, it's so good that they're being taken into consideration. And then if you look at the actual equipment that we're using, so I've been having a talk with some cricket brands recently who are wanting to introduce a women's range, which is great, because for pads, all we're all doing is wearing the men's pads are too long and too wide for us, right? So most of us are wearing youths. But then they're not taking into consideration the fact that we don't have children's calves. You know, we've all got, and women, I've noticed, tend to have quite thicker legs than men generally. So I keep telling brands, please, can you make the straps wider? And encouragingly, some have said, oh, yeah, we've realised that too recently and we've put that in. Or some have said, oh, we hadn't quite realised that, but thanks for the feedback and we will incorporate that. So it's, you know, it's all those kinds of things which really affect whether your enjoyment of the game and also your ability to perform. And the fact that, you know, there's that first female bat manufacturer, I think she's in Yorkshire, that I heard about a year or two ago, it's just the beginning in some ways, and it's very exciting. There's a massive market for it, so it's also a good business investment to do that sort of thing.
Well, it's a good job there now listening to people like yourself as well.
Yeah, it's great.
Right, next number.
Number one.
Oh, number one. Well, this is quite a fun one. In December, you played cricket on a glacier.
Yes, I was in Iceland. And I went on a day trip and I took my bat and my ball and I persuaded the driver, Dominika, who'd never played cricket before. She was from Poland. I showed her cricket and I tried to recruit her for the Iceland women's cricket team. I'm not sure if I succeeded, but she definitely had fun. And I tell you what, it was so, I mean, state the obvious, Jen, but it was so cold. But I literally only had this hoodie. I treated myself to buying a new hat because I'd come from the back of being around Central and South America. So I didn't have cold weather clothes. I mean, I knew I was coming back via Iceland, but also I had to take into consideration that I didn't have that much kit. So, yeah, it was absolutely freezing. But, you know, in Iceland, as with the Scandi countries, there's a lot of indoor cricket that's played. So they actually play cricket all year round, not normally by a glacier. That was a little bit of fun. But, yeah, so I just love that cricket's over there because I do love cricket in random places, and that's to be found in many random places. And Iceland is as random as it gets.
Yeah, the wicket looked like it was breaking up.
It was a little bit. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of brass ball? Stay tuned and Jenny will explain later in the show. Now back to Jenny on her world cricket tour. Right, next number.
Two.
Oh, two. Ah, this is an interesting lady. The world cricket girl, Lily Stevenson.
Yes, she is. She's a whole episode in herself, but we call ourselves Lily and Tomo. Do you see what we did there? So, yeah, Lily drove about a day and a half to come and meet with me because I told her I was going to be in New York. And she's a half American, half Guatemalan, mother of six, whose son still harbours ambitions to play for Australia. The family's lived in England and Australia to pursue this cricket dream. And she's currently back in the US doing so much for women's cricket. Like, I thought I was a little bit obsessed going around the world, you know, I'm into my second year now, but she's been doing it for 12 years. And she's come up with this program, which is brilliant. It's called Empowered Cricket. And it teaches not just cricket, but it teaches, you know, like boundaries and saying yes, no, wait, consent, that sort of stuff. It really delivers a great social message. So she's just having conversations at the moment with the University of Hawaii. It's starting the program there and getting it in schools in Illinois. She's talking with Cricket Iceland, actually. So, you know, it's a really good program, and she's a really great person. She's so, so passionate, and she's so, so driven, and she's just great. I mean, can you imagine? I couldn't believe it when she reached out and I looked at her Insta handle, and she was called World Cricket Girl. And I was like, oh, I'm her World Cricket Tour. And I mean, I suppose the shock was bigger for her because she'd been doing it for a long time. But yeah, now we're very close. She's just really, really passionate and just a really great person.
And did you find when you were in America that cricket is growing out there? Because we've now had the men's Major League Cricket. We've got part of the men's T20 World Cup out there, and hopefully one day a Major League Cricket for women as well.
Yeah, it's definitely growing. And I think this time it is going to be boom time because, you know, there's been that many sort of false starts, really, where everyone's like, we're going to crack America. Warney went over, we're going to crack America, and America was not cracked. But I think finally is the time. I think there's a critical mass now of expats who love the game, and they've for long enough now been instilling it, Major League Cricket. And in terms of the men's T20, you just could not get a ticket for the US. Like, they just sold out instantly. The ballot was completely oversubscribed for that. So I think it's time now. And also, even things like the Bluey episode on cricket dropped in America recently. And Bluey last year, I believe, in America was the second most streamed TV program in the US. So, you know, slowly cricket's getting into all of the consciousness there. But it's really interesting to me because you just think, well, of course cricket should be there because, you know, the first international match was in New York between the US and Canada. And for example, Crick Info started in America because an expat who set it up was just desperate to know how, I think it was Surrey or Sussex, was desperate to know how Sussex was doing. So he was in Silicon Valley and he started uploading the scorecards and it grew from there. So, you know, there's a massive potential in the US. And I think now is the time.
Right, next question.
Three.
Ah, well, three. We're going to enjoy three. You went to Brazil for a touch of, as you put it, Braz ball, and you met Roberta.
And love Roberta.
Well, everyone loves Roberta. We've got to plug Roberta, yeah. Moretti Avery. Did you have the ice bath first?
I didn't have the ice bath with Roberta. She threatened it ever since I met up with her in Hong Kong and she'd invited me to stay at her house. I think she was vetting me in Hong Kong and that's fair enough, but she still let me in. So I got to hang out with her dog, Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson, and they were lovely. And the joke was that Stuart sometimes refuses to walk. Very true. And so one day Roberta says, oh, we're going to the baths. I was a bit worried, but they're actually a thermal spa linked directly because we're in the crater of a volcano in the town of Poços de Caldas, which is where Brazil cricket is based, which is where coincidentally Roberta happens to be from. That's a long story. But yeah, so we actually had a lovely thermal bath. But subsequently, my friend Michael McCann, the commentator, he came to stay when he was out in Australia recently. And there's a thank you. he'd been raving on about the ice bath. I was like, I'm just not keen. So he bought me one. And yeah, it definitely wakes you up. But it's, I just was really obsessed with Brazil cricket and I'd completely forgotten I'd called it Brazball. That's quite clever of me. But yeah, that would be Taco, or as it's known in Roberta's local area, Betch, which is street cricket. And 3 million people play street cricket in Brazil, which is just, it's just absolutely incredible numbers. And you know, most of them don't even know they're playing cricket. They think they're playing just a game called taco. They don't realise that it derived from cricket, but it's slightly different to, well, it's a lot different to cricket in that you use a broom handle and a bottle for stumps. And I love that if you throw the ball at someone, you can run them out by hitting them. I think that's nice and violent. And yeah, so actually one of the national team for the women, there's a few Lauras in the team, and one of the Lauras was spotted playing Brazball because, and they were like, we need her in this team right now, because if she can middle a ball with a broom handle, imagine what she can do with a flat bat. So she's an incredible batter. I got to net with her, and of course her eye is really amazing. So Brazil cricket, I'm just obsessed with it. It's just so cool. I'd love to go back.
Well, the women in Brazil went professional before the men, didn't they?
They were, and they were the first in the world to do that, which is just so good.
And you met the bowling machine as well?
The bowling machine?
Roberta's husband.
Oh, of course. Yeah, do you know, that one just like trips me up every single time because I always forget that he's known as the bowling machine. And it's got me into all kinds of crazy situations. But yeah, Richard, he'd just been out in Argentina when I was over. And he, in the first over of their American championships, he cracked his ankle and he needed surgery. And then it was horrendous and he was in hospital for the entire week that I was there. And then he arrived home. I got to meet him for about half an hour and he stuffed his bag full of Maltesers. And we were saying, because he's a pom, so he was saying like, oh yeah, you need your Maltesers. And then that was about it. So again, I'll have to go back to spend more time with Richard, or as he's called over there, Hitchard.
Right, next one.
Where are we up to? Four?
Yeah, four. We haven't had four. Well, now four was quite a recent visit. It seemed like a great place to go. Fiji.
Oh, so good. I mean, my Insta and my Facebook went absolutely off when I said I was going to Fiji, and you can quite imagine why. You know, all the palms having a terrible time in the winter, just dreaming of those palm trees. And even the Aussies, when we've been having nice weather around here, they were just like, oh, I can't believe you're in Fiji. That's just, it's just lucky, isn't it? I was like, yeah, no, it's a hard life. And I was actually sent there as well by an organisation in Australia who does a lot for promoting girls and women's cricket called Cricket Without Borders. So I was so happy that they were able to send me there. And I just had this incredible week in Fiji. It's actually the 150th year anniversary that cricket was introduced into the islands. And again, there's an adaptation of cricket out there where they play with coconut trees for bats and oranges for balls. So I was able to attend an under-19 women's training. I helped out with the coaching, gave a motivational talk. I'm sure that's really boosted them. And then I went to loads of schools and just hung around. We actually played some island cricket with a gifted bat that had been sent from New Caledonia, which is just longer than a normal bat. And then the ball is bigger and it looks like it's wooden. Right, and you just think it's going to behave like a solid wooden ball. But actually, it's more rubber. It's made of the banyan tree. So they sort of shave bits of this rubber-like tree, and then they boil it down, and then they shave and boil and shave and boil. It's very, very dense, and it bounces like a bouncy ball. So much fun to play. So I said to two of the players who were helping out as volunteer coaches, they do a lot there. One of them's the captain, Woolly, and one of them's called Mouse. So I said to the women, I was like, oh, let's try this island cricket. It would be really good, because what New Caledonia want to do, they've introduced it to Vanuatu, and then they want Fiji as the three Melanesian islands. They want them to play a tournament. And just to say that island cricket in Vanuatu is just insanely good. The social good that it does there, it has massive beneficial effects on health outcomes, which can be quite poor in Vanuatu. It delivers education on gender-based violence. So the island cricket program is totally amazing, and that's one reason, apart from it being just so much fun. That's one reason why New Cali want to sort of spread the island cricket love. So I said to Mels and Bully, I was like, let's go and play in that vacant field next to Cricket Fiji office. Anyway, we look out the window and it's absolutely teeming with young men playing rugby, because of course rugby's massive, massive in Fiji. It's everywhere. It's on Weet-Bix packets, it's on billboards, it's even on, get this, the $7 notes. Yeah, to commemorate their bronze medal at some championships. I think it was the Commonwealth Games or the Olympics, maybe. Anyway, $7 note. So there we were. We were just like, we'll infiltrate this rugby match and play, but not exactly match trainings. And we played the island cricket, and it was really, really fun. And I said to the women, I was like, oh, have you played rugby before? And they said, oh, yes, but we got injured. Woolly just had to stop. She got injured, and then Mel said, yeah, I got stamped on the head. So I thought cricket was a bit safer. So that's what they do now. But brilliant week.
And you spent International Women's Day in Fiji.
Yes. Yes, I did. And it was just really wonderful to be there. I chose on my socials to feature Makalesi, who is this extraordinary former double Olympian athlete, sprinter. She holds all the records still in the Pacific Games for 100, 200, 400, 800. She's just a complete machine. And I love when people come over from individual sports to bring that psychological discipline into a team sport. I think there's so much that can be learned from individual sports and vice versa, because again, our friend Roberta, she'll tell you how much she's learned from switching from golf to cricket. But yeah, Makalesi runs one of these social impact programs, and her one is called Cricket for Good. And what they do is they go into the remote communities and, you know, they change attitudes towards women. She said to me, we've gone from men thinking that women belong in the kitchen to thinking that they can do anything. And that's so powerful. And, you know, I mean, of anyone you could feature on International Women's Day, I think she was just brilliant, not just because of what she's doing now, but because of her Olympic career as well.
And staying with Fiji, there's so much to talk about Fiji, but the last point on Fiji, you were on breakfast telly as well.
Oh, I was on telly, yes. That was really, really, really fun. So Cricket Fiji actually said they'd been trying to get onto the English language channel for over, well, a long time now. And this was the first chance that they'd had through someone crazy like me coming along with my big expedition, I guess. And it was really, really lovely. And they gave me 16 minutes of airtime, which was so super generous. It was a great experience, and it was just a really great opportunity to talk about cricket in front of Fijians, who obviously are really, really used to rugby. But, you know, wherever I go, I ask, you know, taxi drivers, people in shops, cafes, random people I meet, I ask them, do you know cricket? And so many times, you know, it's cricket was cricket, but people in Fiji seem to know what cricket was. And there's a couple of sports shops there now that only used to be, there wasn't anything for a long time. Then there was one which had a complete monopoly. But yeah, I think a sports shop can tell you a story because, of course, it was rugby all over the window and that sort of thing. But there was a cricket section. But one small cricket bag, not a big bag, just sort of a juniorish slash small adult bag, was, what would it be? It would be £300. It was about $500 Australian. It was about $800 for G and $700, $800. It was just insane because one of the players had told me, because I was able to collect some donations from my friends, which was really kind. And, you know, amongst that, there was a cricket bag. And they just were so, so pleased. They were like, you don't know how expensive they were. And I actually really, I couldn't believe it until I saw the price tag in the shop. It's absolutely ridiculous.
When you said you were on for 16 minutes, did they schedule that so it was like 7 minutes past eight, so you didn't interfere with news and weather and things like that? Because
that's right, yeah. I was on after the news, and there was an 8 minute segment. Then we cut to a break, then there was another 8 minute segment. And I thought, oh, that's good. I haven't done anything slapstick or silly, at least not on air, which is like par for the course with me. So I was really pleased. But because we had just a very quick break before the presenter, Tavita had to get back on with presenting, I said, oh, could we have a very quick photo for my socials, please? And he said, no worries. So I got so excited. I sort of dived off to the left where my where my bag was with my phone on a chair, forgot I was mic'd up, which had gone all the way under my hoodie, and I pretty much pulled myself, the sofa, and Tavita along, and I was like, ah! You know, I got so far. I hadn't done something stupid and there was that. But, you know, I always think everything's good material for the book.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I think already this podcast is going to have to be two parts again. So this is we're now on part one.
I was really trying.
So we're going to go to question eight yet next because you've question eight because you've already mentioned it, and I wanted to bring up Cricket Without Borders with Claire Cannon.
Yes. Claire Cannon is just one of those phenomenal women who you're just in awe of, and you just think, I don't know how you like that. I would love to be like you. You know, she's like dignified, she's classy, she's smart, she's really funny, she's really kind, she's really generous, and she's based just outside of Melbourne. And she's a farmer, which I love because, you know, particularly in Australia where we're really, really, really subject to the vicissitudes, that's a big word, of the weather. And we've had some horrendous times. you know, particularly in the last decade or so. She's just really awesome, really tough. And so what happened was she founded this organization called Cricket Without Borders, and the director is an extraordinary lovely man called Ken Jacobs, OAM, Order of Australia medal, who used to run Cricket Victoria. And he's such a wonderful person. He's universally respected. So they're a great combination of people. And they'd mentioned to me, I just reached out to them about a year ago. I said, hi, just let you know, I'm doing this. And we seem to have a lot of synergy with our, you know, beliefs and attitudes and that sort of thing. And that was it. I was like, do you think there's anything we can do? And we had a Zoom about this time last year, actually, in class, that I'd really love to send you to Fiji. I think there's a lot of good work that can be done out there. So that was it. And then, yeah, just been to Fiji. So it was really, really unreal. So I'm hoping that next time the three of us can all go back together, because that would be really lovely.
Right, next number.
Five.
Oh, five. Ah, you went to New Zealand. I know in New Zealand you had your first, I don't know, it was the only washout, but you played with the Maoris who were in the Pacific Cup.
I didn't play with the Maoris. I went to watch the Maoris.
Yes, watch.
That's right. So, yeah, I was supposed to play a match and it got rained out. So, that was unfortunate, but I played a little bit in a net setup at the ground of a domestic game because I really wanted to go to Eden Park. So they were playing the Central Hinds, who Kerry Tomlinson plays for, who's the captain of the Maori team as well. So she kindly put me a player ticket on the door, which I've never had before, so it was exciting. I got to watch the ground, the match at Eden Park, and look at the venue, which is interesting because, of course, it's got to accommodate a rugby field dimension. So that was interesting. But I was also there. Well, I mean, I planned it around going to the Pacific Cup, which is an annual tournament, but at which the Maori women made their debut in cricket. And it was so phenomenal. I'm getting the goosebumps now, just recalling it. Imagine being there and seeing history be made, these phenomenal women doing the haka. I can't think that I'd seen a haka live before. Obviously, I've seen plenty on television. It was so wonderful. And they've already agreed that this will be an ongoing thing, which is absolutely massive, because I was talking with Kerry about the cultural benefits of this, and she's like, you know, it was a real opportunity for the players to connect with their Maori heritage and learn in some cases some things about being Maori. But also, you know, we always talk in cricket about pathways, and pathways are so important. And you know, she's like, now this is a real pathway for Maori girls and women. You know, it's always great to have role models, and it was just really impressive. And they made it to the final. They were beaten by PNG, but there was so much talent around. It was really great. I could only be there for a day, unfortunately, because I would have just loved to have stayed a lot longer. I've just been to Vanuatu, so I was writing some things before, and I was looking at the coverage from the Pacific Cup. It just made me want to go back next year. It's such a great tournament, and it was really, really well held. It was, as a spectator, it was a great experience. They'd really planned it really well, and it was at a ground just outside Auckland called Lloyd Ellesmere Park, which has got, because there were six teams in it, so they've got three matches simultaneously, which is just really great.
Right, you're left with 9, 10, 11 and 12.
Okay, let's go chronologically. 9.
Okay. You've mentioned this quite a bit about the benefits of cricket to people mentally, and I'm selecting Adriana in Costa Rica. You went there in October.
Yeah. She's just one of the most incredible women. Oh, my heart. Just, you know, sometimes when you just meet someone and you just connect. And I think it's because primarily she's just an incredible woman with a massive heart. So, yeah, unfortunately, she lost her son really, really young. And it just really inspired her to just, because she was grieving, she just needed something to work through the grief. So she took up boxing. And you can imagine how macho boxing is, particularly in Costa Rica. It's very macho society going on around there. So Adriana took up boxing, and rather than walk away from that environment, she, you know, because she underwent a lot of prejudice from being a woman, she was like, no, I'm not going to have that. I'm going to stay here. And she became a coach, and she's still coaching. But she found that she needed a counterbalance to that kind of environment. So she found cricket and she took up cricket. And now she plays cricket, but she also coaches cricket. She's got a youth sports academy. And I met all these kids who are just so beautiful. And Adriana's just got really fun ways of delivering training. So, you know, she's realized that a lot of cricket is you look like a gorilla when you're playing. So if you're standing in the slip, she describes it as, you know, squat like a gorilla. If you're batting, you're sort of squatting like a gorilla. It's like, and then she's got all these gorilla style warm-ups. And, you know, I mean, I say it's great for the kids, but I love anything fun as well. Who doesn't? So she's just brilliant. And just one funny thing was she said to me, I mean, you know, she said to me, oh, the kids have been so excited to meet you. I said, oh, really? She said, oh, yeah. They talked about nothing else all week. And I thought, oh, it was a slow week in Costa Rica up the mountain. And she said, yeah, she said, some of them didn't sleep last night. I said, really? And she said, yeah, she said, some of them have never been off the mountain. They've never met anyone who isn't Costa Rican. And I thought, oh, goodness me. Now, I'm so glad I didn't know that before, because the pressure of being from the outside world and me being the representative, I mean, if I was up a mountain and someone met me, I'd just be like, I'm staying on the mountain. The world's full of crazy people. I'm just staying here. But, yeah, it was just so lovely. And they gave me so many hugs, all the kids, and they were really fascinated by, you know, this English person, and they brought me little gifts, and it was just so wonderful. But Adriana, you know, she's just developed this such good culture there, and she's part of another team who I played an indoor match with called Kiskadees, and they're really fun. I say this wherever I go, but I'd love to go back to Costa Rica, because, you know, how they deliver cricket, they just make it so much fun.
Right. 10. Oh, you're going to go to 10, 11, 12. So we go 10 then. You went to Argentina and met all these run machines.
Unreal. I could do you 3 episodes about Argentina.
We haven't got that long. No.
We haven't. But yeah, I just met the team who made all those world records just only a week or two prior against Chile. So yeah, I said, what's the reality? You know, because we've all heard about it across the world, but nobody saw any video, there's nothing coming out. Can you tell me how it was, you know? And they said, yeah, they said Chile had sent a really young team, they're rebuilding. They said, but they had so much heart and courage despite having all these runs smacked against them that even, you know, on the last match or so, whenever they won the toss, they would still field. They just wanted the practice and they wanted the, you know, the experience. I mean, how can you get better if you're not, you know, playing good opposition? And the women were just from Argentina. They were just such a great bunch of women. They're so, what was really noticeable there was they're such good friends, and they all play for each other. You know, they've all got jobs, and then they've got to come to training at 7 or 8 o'clock. And then we had dinner after a training about 11 p.m. And I said, did you put this dinner on because I'm here, or is this what you would do normally? And either way is fine. I just want to know for reporting's sake. And they said, no, we will often have a dinner at 11 p.m. because that's the only time that we've got to bond with each other. But we're all really good friends because, you know, we spend so much time with each other and we don't have time in our lives to do anything else. But yeah, they were just really wonderful. And I said, do you realize what you've done? And they said, no, not really. You know, I mean, we clap, but some people didn't know how to raise their bat, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, we were really happy for each other. I was like, do you realize that your story went around the world? And they said, no, not really. I mean, there wasn't that much. There wasn't any media about it in Argentina. They said, one of the girls, Lucia, she said, my cousin messaged me and said, I'm reading the BBC and what are you doing as a headline under the global news? There you are, you're in the headlines, because she'd hit a century. But, you know, it's kind of, they just, because hockey's such a major sport there and there's no attention to cricket, the girls are just really humble about it and really modest, because they're just doing, like many of us, you just do cricket because you love it and you're not looking for attention. You know, they were just so modest about what they'd done. They were just happy. Actually, you know what? They were just happy to be playing, because at the moment the Argentine economy is in such a mess. It's so expensive over there that none of them can get out of the country. But they do plead for anybody and to go and visit them. So if anybody's watching the podcast wants to go and tour Argentina, they'll tell you they've got amazing steak and wine and facilities. They've got some beautiful grass pitches, which are quite rare in associate countries. So, you know, they've got all the facilities and it's really cheap to come as a tourist at the moment. So they would love people to come and tour there. And that was another thing they said about Chile. They said, you know, at the basic, we're just really happy that the women came to tour and to get experience. And we were so, so happy to host them. And, you know, that it was lovely. They had this lovely friends exchange where they sort of gave each other books and chocolate. And it just sounded like such a good time. And I think, you know, it's really easy to look at scorecards and make an assumption about what has happened there. And then you talk, it's only when you talk with people that you get the reality.
Yeah, I'm looking at the scorecard now at the St. Albans Club in Buenos Aires. On the 13th of October, Argentina scored 427 for one. And Lucia Taylor, 169. Yes. And yes. Albertina Gallen, 145.
Yeah, I know. And they're both such wonderful, modest, beautiful young women. They're just fabulous. And they're just happy to play. You know, they've got no ego about what they did. They just took it in their stride.
Right. Number 11.
That's good.
The PNG captain, Kaya, came to stay with you in Adelaide.
She did. The World Tour came to me. So I'd met Kaya when I'd gone over to PNG, and we played street cricket in her village, Hanawabara, which is known as Big Village or Golden Village, because it provides most of the international cricket teams, and also an Olympic weightlifter who's Kaya's cousin. So we played street cricket there, and I met her mum, Bonnie. I think I've mentioned Bonnie before, who was in PNG's first women's team, very historic. She was a wicketkeeper. And Kaya said to me, oh, you're in Adelaide. I said, that's right. She said, well, my husband works just outside of Adelaide. I said, don't I say? And she said, yeah, so he's a regional worker. We have many, many Pacific people coming over, often players, to work in the regions in Australia. And actually, I said, well, come and play at Adelaide. That's my new club. And actually, Selena Solman and Rachel Andrews from Vanuatu, who'd played there prior, but they're now on the Queensland coast working. So they're playing up there. So often, you know, economics, as we just saw with Argentina, dictates a lot of things. And in this case, you know, Kaya's husband had come over to get more money than he'd be able to in PNG. So she said, I'd love to get some, you know, decent level cricket and get some experience in Adelaide, of the Adelaide conditions, because she's lived in Brisbane and Sydney before and played in those conditions. And it's different down in Adelaide again, because we were speaking before about Manchester being the rainiest place. I don't think it's a coincidence that I live in the driest state in the driest continent of the world. So yeah, it's completely different conditions again down here. So Kaya said, could she come and stay? So I said, yep, no problem. So she came and stayed with me for a month. And then, you know, we went to my gym and we did some, it was interesting, we did some body balance, like yoga classes. And Kaya's just like, oh yeah, this is really cool. I'd love to take something like that back to PNG and get that for the women, because, you know, it's so good. It's just so good for your flexibility, obviously. Yeah, so it was just really great. And then we had a sort of cultural food exchange. Kaya made me some dishes from PNG and it was really, really good.
And she enjoyed playing cricket in Adelaide?
Of course. Everybody enjoys playing cricket in Adelaide and everybody enjoys Adelaide. People call me the Adelaide Tourist Board, so I'd better stop, because otherwise I'll do a whole podcast on why you should come and visit the world's best city.
Well, this is the city of churches. I've only been there a day myself, but we've got number 12 now, and okay, we're going to chat about Giovanni in Guatemala.
Oh, Giovanni. Unreal. So he's part of Mission Guatemala, which was set up by two English men, Luke and his dad Russ, who'd moved over to Guatemala in the early 2000s, and they weren't sure what they were going to do. There's very long stories, but short story is they set up a school, and then through that, they, once that was established, they thought, oh, let's have some sport, of course, great idea. So they set up football, but it would prove too macho. There were too many fights going on. So instead, they introduced cricket. And the area that they're in is called Santiago. And they're the only gringos in town. It's a really dangerous, gang-ridden city, actually. And in fact, when we were playing, there were some fatal shootings just up the road. You know, it's a real thing, if you know what I mean. It's reality being there. But Giovanni was part of the school, and then he took up cricket with Luke and Russ, and he became a leg spinner because he was watching videos of Shane Warne. And I just love that idea that there's, it's so random, and I love it. You know, oh, someone's just watching Shane Warne videos in Guatemala is now a leg spinner. But Giovanni loved cricket that much that he's become a cricket coach. He's also graduated in really serious science things, I think like physics and chemistry, maths, whatever. He's super, super brainy, so he teaches as well. But, yeah, he coaches cricket. And I'd read about him in a book that was written about 10 years ago. And when I turned up and he was still there, and not only just there, but really, really involved, oh, it just made me really happy. And his action, as you can imagine, is just, it's really, really brilliant. There's so many brilliant stories in Guatemalan cricket, though. Yeah, just so many stories.
Well, that completes the stories, the 12 stories. Now, and as expected, this is now going to be the end of part one with Jenny Thompson all around the world. So we will come back to you shortly with part two of, Well, no, come back to you with part four, because this is part three, because we've already had part one and part two of part four with Jenny Thompson, when we're going to be talking about Christmas in Australia, travelling around on her world cricket tour. Also, more about women's cricket and where to next. Thanks for joining me on part three, Jenny.
Thank you. And I'm not sure about your as expected. There's a fourth part, but I think that's fair comment. Sports Social Podcast Network.